Hi guys, so this is basically another podcast just to talk about the latest in boxing. And we're going to start with the AJ and Jarrell Big Baby Miller press conference, which had fireworks to say the least. If I'm being honest about the actual fight, I didn't feel like Big Baby Miller poses any sort of threat to Anthony Joshua. I've watched a lot of his fights over the last few days. I feel like he's got slow footwork, he lacks power, he doesn't seem to be able to move out of his own body weight, and if he does believe in any way, shape or form that he's going to beat Joshua, he definitely needs to cut. He'll think he weighs about £300 right now. For me, he needs to cut about £30. Like, he needs to get that weight right down, because I've watched him, I even watched a kickboxing fight he was in, and he looked poor in that as well. And this is coming from a guy that was saying he was a brilliant kickboxer, says he's a brilliant boxer. I don't see how he feels like he can beat Anthony Joshua. And I'm not being biased to Joshua because I'm English. Yes, I'm a Joshua fan. But I just feel like Joshua just has the speed, the footwork. The fight I watched, Miller versus Adamek. Miller looked gassed after one round. And obviously, Joshua won one of his belts going 12 rounds, outpointing Parker. Didn't seem to have any sort of stamina issues. The one time he's had a stamina issue was against Vladimir Klitschko, when he was obviously inexperienced. This was his first tough fight. And he went sort of over. He tried to go for the finish, but didn't realise that Vladimir Klitschko was experienced to that. But ever since then, Joshua for me has shown no signs of fatigue in his fights at all. I feel like Joshua could win this fight in any way he wants, in my opinion. And he did. Joshua said in the press conference that he thinks that the only way Miller wins is a lucky punch. But I don't even think Miller can win on a lucky punch. Miller doesn't hit hard, in my opinion. I've watched a lot of his recent fights. I watched him against Gerald Washington. He just seems to me very pillow fisted. Gerald Washington is not even a good heavyweight, and he took Miller. Miller, I think he retired on his stool against Miller, like the eighth round. And like everybody else has like wiped the floor of Gerald Washington. Adam Kawanaki recently on the Keith Thurman undercard, he knocked out Gerald Washington in about, I think it was three rounds, maybe two. But in my opinion, Gerald Washington is Gerald Miller's best win. And like, look what everybody else has done to Gerald Washington that's faced him. Getting on to the actual press conference, I just thought it was just childish from Miller. Like, Joshua going to face off, it was a bit of a bitch move in my opinion. When they went to face off, Joshua put his hands behind his back to do a normal standard face off, and then Miller saw the opportunity to push him to try and. He was trying to set some sort of like macho dominance, in my opinion, that just didn't work. And Joshua. To be fair, I was expecting Joshua to flip his a little bit more, but he stayed calm and professional. And even throughout the actual press conference, when Miller was just talking some pure shit, he stayed professional. Like, I know he kicked game back a few times with the mum disses, saying that he pays his mum rent and things like that. But Jarrell Miller was just. At one point, he said to Joshua, "You can't out trash talk me. I've got jokes." But like, none of his trash talk, like Tyson Fury trash talk, is clever trash talk. Like, he knows what he's saying to get in your head. He knows how he's pushing your buttons. Jarrell Miller was like a little kid in the playground that like when one of the kid like the less popular kids comes in with a new phone, and like the harder kid in school like bullies him because he's got something better than him. That's what it seemed like to me. It just seemed like a little bit of playground. To be fair, Joshua did say himself, but it was just like some playground bollocks. But in terms of that fight, I just feel like Joshua wins that easily. And I feel like it'd be a good way to make his debut. He does seem to be making waves at the minute. He's on a lot of radio stations in America, from what I've seen everywhere. He's getting a career high purse of $32 million. That's what's being reported. So if that is true, then he's stacking money as well. But yeah, in my opinion, I'll talk about this more when we get nearer to the fight, but in my opinion, I feel Joshua walks the park with Miller, and that's pretty much it. Moving on to this weekend, we've got DeGale Eubank Jr. And I watched the press conference, the final press conference, and It was one of the weirdest press conferences I've ever watched. But you've got Paul Malignaggi on James DeGale's team, which I didn't really understand why it was there, because I've never really been there before. And James, you've got Chris Eubank Senior, who's acting like almost like he doesn't even support his own son anymore. You've got a new trainer with Chris Eubank Junior, who we've never heard of, like nobody knows anything about him. You've got Ronnie Davis there as usual, who apparently is a trainer, but just stands by as an advisor role, but surely that's disrespect to the trainer who should be just left to train Chris Eubank Jr. And then I was looking at De Gea today, and he looks, every time I've seen De Gea in this build up, he looks like he's been getting mashed up in the gym. And I don't know if that's just like my point of view, or that's what I'm seeing, but like he seems to be like bruised around the eyes all the time, his nose always seems to be mashed up. Like, this fight for me, it's getting built to be this big fight, but in my opinion, it's not even a big fight. De Gea vacated his world title, in my opinion, because he knows he's not up to scratch to compete in that division. I mean, Caleb Truax is not a world beater, and he's fought Caleb Truax, lost the first time, and it was close the second time. Like, just weird. Like, it, for me, it just feels like De Gea's over the hill. And Eubank Jr., like, I don't get how, like, high is where he is. I don't get how he's got another big fight from literally. He's the most confusing guy in the world. He still talks about the Saunders loss as though, like, Saunders wasn't out of shape. If Saunders had been in shape for that entire fight, Saunders would have won every round of that fight, like George Groves did. If you're comparing George Groves and Billy Joe Saunders, everybody says George Groves completely outclassed Chris Eubank Jr., and everybody says that Billy Joe Saunders like scraped it. But if you compare those two stylistically, Groves and Saunders, Saunders is by far a technically better boxer. If Saunders is in shape like he was against, say, David Lemieux, you're telling me David Lemieux wouldn't beat Chris Eubank Jr.? Because I don't believe for a minute that he wouldn't beat Chris Eubank Jr. And I think if those two fought again, Billy Joe Saunders would just make him look silly. But going back to this weekend's fight, the only way Eubank wins is if De Gea is past it, or he gets involved in a tear-up. I feel like all De Gea has to do is move his feet and use his basic boxing fundamentals. Because if you do that against Chris Eubank Jr., like, you're on to a winner. He's never shown in any fight, Chris Eubank Jr., that he knows what he's doing. That he, in an elite fight, he's never shown that he's been belonged in there. Yes, he's never been knocked out. Yes, he's tough. Yes, I commend him for being tough, because he could have been completely different, being brought up on his dad's money, etc. Like, it's good that he's a tough kid. Like, it's always better to be tough in boxing and have a good chin than not to be, because otherwise you'd be like Amir Khan or David Price. And that's no disrespect to Amir Khan or David Price, but they don't have the strongest chins in the game. But in my opinion, De Gea would, as much as I think he's been getting mashed up in sparring, it doesn't look great. I do feel like if he just does the basics and does still have his legs under him, then I feel like he should really box Eubank to a decision. I don't feel like he'll stop Eubank, because I don't feel like Eubank took some big blows off George Groves and wasn't really fazed and just kept walking forward. And I feel like Groves punches harder than James De Gea. But yeah, I don't believe that. If I was being pushed for a prediction, I'd have to say De Gea on points, but I wouldn't be shocked if James De Gea is done, judging on what we've seen recently. But whoever wins this, I would like to see them fight Billy Joe Saunders after Billy Joe Saunders wins his fight. He's fighting now for the WBO Super Middleweight Championship, and I don't even know the opponent. I don't understand it, because before Christmas he was saying he wanted to go and avenge. Well, not avenge, but he said he wanted to go and get his belt back from Andrade, because Andrade didn't win it correctly. But then, in my opinion, this is just Frank Warren yet again not wanting to work with Eddie Hearn. Because the split on a belt is always going to be 80-20 or 70-30 if he travelled. 70-30 if he travelled is not a bad deal. And if Billy Joe Saunders was saying in an interview with, I think it was Michelle Joy Phelps the other day, that he feels like Andrade gets beaten like as soon as he fights someone good. So why does Billy Joe Saunders not have the confidence himself to go over there to America, beat their champion, take the belt back? Puts him in a great position when you've got Canelo and Jacobs fighting for the other belts, and surely with him fighting on DAZN, he'd be right in that middleweight scene. But obviously Frank Warren doesn't want that whatsoever, so he's decided to move him up to super middleweight and get, I don't know how Frank Warren keeps getting people these WBO shots. He's got Anthony Yard to, like, I think it's number two in the WBO. But Frank Warren seems to have this way of, like, if he doesn't want something to work his way, if it's something doesn't work his way, then
I know, that's what.
he will literally just, like, go a different route, even if it's not for the benefit of his fighter. For me, it would have benefited Saunders more to fight Andrade and then have a big fight in the middleweight division. He could have easily still got a big fight in the middleweight division. Because if you can work with Eddie Hearn once to fight Andrade, then surely you can work with Eddie Hearn again to fight Jacobs. Or surely you can work with DAZN to fight Canelo. But in my opinion, he's moved to a division which at the minute is pretty stagnant. You've got two vacant titles being fought for. Callum Smith is at the top of that division, in my opinion. But, like, there's nothing really popping in that division at the minute, in my opinion, super middleweights. But keeping the subject of Frank Warren and BT Sport, obviously we've seen that Tyson Fury signed an £80 million deal with ESPN and Top Rank Bob Arum. For me, I just think that feel like this is Frank lost control of Tyson Fury, couldn't give Fury what he wanted. But he still gets to be a part of it with Fury signing with ESPN because it's part of the deal with the ESPN deal that Fury has to box twice a year in America. And in my opinion, Fury won't box more than twice a year anyway. So it looks like Tyson Fury will now just be a fighter in America like Vasily Lomachenko is. And like other fighters are on ESPN, feels like he will just be solely based in America now. So it's, to be fair, in all honesty, Frank Warren sort of failed the British boxing fans a bit by doing that. But I suppose Fury is now becoming a bigger draw. But if that had been another promoter, I believe that, like, Tyson Fury would have ended up with a better deal and would have ended up staying fighting in the UK. But Frank, we'll keep hearing stories about Queensbury Promotions being bankrupt and failing and things like this. But we'll just have to see, won't we? We'll see what Frank brings us this year. But so far, his cards haven't been great. Eddie Hearn's cards haven't been great either, really, yet. But I'm hoping that there's one coming up on March 20th. It's March the 23rd at the Copper Box, which is a good card. You've got Charlie Edwards defending his world title. You've got Lawrence Cody, Wally Camacho. You've got Joshua Bratzy and Liam Conroy, Lewis Ritson and Andy Townend. There's some good fights there. That looks like a decent card. We're going to have Billy O'Shaughnessy, obviously, with Frank Warren out on BT on the April the 13th date at Wembley Arena. But I don't know how good that card will be. But at the minute, there's nothing really jumping out at this point in time. I'm looking forward to Canelo Jacobs, but that's a while away. Also looking forward to March 30th card in Liverpool. Fowler Fitzgerald is a fight that I'm excited to see. Two young, hungry, light middleweights going at it. I feel like Fowler probably has got the edge in that one. Well, that's another good fight. It's a weird time at the minute because we've got lots of big fights being talked about, but we've not really got a lawful lot happening. We've got the Canelo fight settlement now, we've got the Joshua fight settlement now. Hopefully, even with Fury moving to ESPN, hopefully a Wilder deal can be created. Seems like Wilder has come out the other day and said that he's a free agent. But yeah, apart from that, there's nothing. I don't really think there's anything else to discuss today. But I want to be back tomorrow night with a preview for the James Segal Eubank fight and all the card underneath it. So make sure you come back and tune in for that one tomorrow. And I will be doing another one Saturday after the James Segal Eubank card just to review how it went. And then we're back next week with whatever boxing news comes around next. So until then, make sure you follow me on all my social medias and make sure you keep tuning into this podcast, and I will continue to do my best to provide you with the latest news and my opinions. Cheers, guys.